Come now to a brand new series, and we're looking at, I've entitled it, Ever Increasing Circles, and it's kind of casting a new vision for the life of the church. There were various ways that our preaching could have gone in the next few weeks, which it could have been, woe is us, and I could have told you how tough it is, and believe me, it is tough at the moment in terms of church. It's tough everywhere. In terms of what's happening, we are encountering unprecedented levels of sickness and illness in the congregation, serious illnesses. We're finding people struggling in terms of mental health issues. We're encountering people now, it was a good thing and a bad thing, but CAP this week, Fiona was saying, you know, we're starting to get really busy in terms of people and their finances. And we're starting to see this. In terms of the own functioning of the life of the church, I was explaining at the leadership weekend yesterday, it's like we're an emaciated body where you've had the attrition and everything of the last 18 months. In fact, Matt and Becky Sharp are here this morning, and it's their last Sunday. They're about to go to St. Andrews, so Matt can continue being a great academic. But again, we've had that without really the re-energizing and the renewal of other people coming in. So you find, and that translates into your volunteer lists and the functioning of things at all levels of the life of the church. And so all of these things are hard. And, you know, we've just come out of a tough 18 months, and now we're facing all this. And so we could have spent the next few weeks saying how hard it's going to be and how tough it's going to be. But you know what? I just felt that this isn't where we should be going at this time. And yesterday as we met, and we began to talk about the challenges of the next few months and probably the next 12 to 18 months going into next year and maybe the year beyond. And we began to recognize that actually we're facing a challenge, which is not only about the practical resources, but it's actually about the question that people are asking of themselves, which is, what is it all about? We've been getting emails from people who are kind of saying, you know, we've been doing church in a way for all of our life, and now we're not really sure what it's about anymore. And we're not really sure we want to do things in the same way that we used to do them. And there's this whole sense of, what's the raison d'etre? What's the point? What's the purpose of it all? Because COVID has wiped out an awful lot of things very quickly. And it causes you to begin to reflect. And so I thought it was appropriate over the next few weeks under this vision series, and I'm calling it a vision series because it is a vision series, to talk about ever-increasing circles and talk about, in terms of these circles, what is it all about? And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about creating a worshiping center. And then look at the whole idea of an inclusive family. And beyond that, a transformational presence. And it's like little circles that go out. When I was up in Lewis on holiday, there was a river that I would sometimes walk past. And just as it entered the sea, the fish used to jump right out of the water. I was surprised how high they jumped, but they would jump right up out of the water. Now, sometimes you saw them, but sometimes you didn't. And when they went back, you saw the ripple effects. And so there was this center, and it ripples. And I'm sure you've, as a kid, or maybe as adults, you've thrown rocks into ponds, and you've just seen them ripple out. And it's like, so you have to get the center, and then from the center, everything emanates out. We can go to the next, the picture. Next slide, thanks. And everything emanates out from that point. And I want us to think about this image of worship, inclusion, and transformation in this image. However, I also want to recognize that, you know, it isn't about just coming back and doing all the same old stuff. One of my favorite parables in the New Testament, if we can go to the next slide, is a parable called the parable of the scribe, and you'll find it in Matthew chapter 13, verses 51 through 53. And Jesus says this: every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasures new things and old things. And it's probably a teaching tip that it's good to mix new teaching with old teaching. But it's actually also, I think, a key verse for us understanding this time as a church. That as a church, it's not just all about new stuff. Some people are like, let's just wipe everything out and everything new and everything. And I can see some of the reasons for doing that. But actually, you know, that's not right. There are certain things that we should preserve and maintain and build, actually, and renew in the life of the church. And so, you know, there's some old stuff. But if we just say, you know what, we just want to go back to the way it was and put everything else in place as it was, and you know, that's also wrong. There has to be space for new stuff and innovation. There has to be space for transformation within the life of the church. And again, that comes back to these concentric circles, where in terms of worship, in terms of inclusion, in terms of transformation, there is some old stuff, but there's also got to be new stuff and innovation. And it's a period of innovation for us in the life of the church. Now, some of this stuff, some of the innovation, may not work. And that's okay. You know, it's okay to try things and explore things and do things. We tend to get terrified of doing something that doesn't work. And that creates a kind of paralysis. And then we only do the stuff that we know or has worked previously. But actually, in the situation that the church is facing, we need to be innovative while also affirming some of the things from the past. So I want to begin this morning by looking at this theme of worship and looking at Romans 12. Paul, as he begins to break into Romans 12, is in the letter that he's writing to the Romans, he's about to do a transition. So he's going from talking about some really profound theology and then a parenthesis on the place of Israel. And then he turns to saying, okay, now let's put all this together and see how this works out in practice, in the living practice. And he identifies right at the center of this, right at the center of what everything is about, this idea of worship. You know, that we are created for worship. Some of you will know the Westminster Shorter Catechism and these documents, they were generated in the 17th century, and they're amazing documents. If you don't get a chance, the Westminster Confession and the Shorter Catechisms and things, well worth a read if you've got a few spare hours. But one of the amazing things in the Shorter Catechism, it asks this question, and catechisms was the way that people used to get taught. So what you used to do with your children and adults as well was you would ask them questions, and they would then give you the answer. They would learn the answer. I think there was about 133 questions, maybe I'm wrong, and in the Shorter Catechism that you learned the answers to. And the first question is, what is the chief end of man or humanity, to modernize it? So what's the chief end of humanity? And the answer to that question is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And so the first thing you learn when you did the Shorter Catechism was, what's it all about? And it's all about being a worshiper. Paul says, present yourself as a living sacrifice. And here's the wonder. It's the wonder of the creature before the Creator. It's the wonder of recognizing that we are tiny little specks of dust, and yet we worship this God, the one who orders the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we stand in relation to Him. The most amazing sense. And here's the thing, enjoy Him forever. You know, I fundamentally believe that when you fail to worship God because you are designed to worship God, then you will have to find other things to worship. And usually those other things bring you ultimate misery. You know, you might worship your car, and it's great for a while, but then it breaks down, or it gets a puncture, or it gets rusty. And you know, the joy that comes from worshiping God, and that joy that is the creature recognizing that I was made in relation to a creator, and suddenly everything begins to fall into place. I always tell couples before they get married, you know, keep God at the center, because if you have God at the center, you'll get the value and importance of everything else right. If you don't, then you get like a skewed economic system, and you attribute wrong values to wrong things, your career or your houses or whatever. But when God is at the center and you worship this God, you know the joy of encountering that. Now, there's a lot of people at the moment who are saying, well, we've had some of this for the last 18 months, and it's been great. You know, just me and God. Church is brilliant when it's just me and God. But the worship of God, and we see this again in Romans 12. Paul talks about being a living sacrifice and this idea of coming and worshiping our God and giving ourselves to this God. But how does that worship work itself out? How does that experience as the individual before God, if you like, again, the concentric circles, work its way out? It works its way into community. And I have rejoiced in the fact that over the last 18 months, we've had technology that has allowed us to maintain a corporate worship experience virtually. And you know, if this had happened a decade ago, we probably wouldn't have been in the same position. And I actually have no idea how we would have functioned in relation to that. But we've managed to do that, and I'm thankful for that. And we do continue to maintain some kind of virtual presence in terms of worship. But worship ultimately is about a gathered community of God's people. And again, if you look at Romans 12, you see he immediately says it draws us into a relationship with one another as a corporate body. So our worship of God translates into corporate worship. I mean, it was great this morning to come along. And I know the church isn't quite full, but it's starting to fill up. And it's great to sing together. I'm not a great singer. In fact, I was once told that when they trained new PA operators for the church, there were three golden rules. I don't remember. One was like always zero the desk. I can't remember what the other one was. And the other one was the congregation must never hear Alistair sing. Those were the three rules. And they in fact, once they cruelly recorded me so they could hear it. And it was interesting. But you know, it is so wonderful to come together as God's people and sing together and worship together. And so there's a corporate dimension in terms of worship. And so our worship of God can't just be about, you know, me and God. And you know, I know how much that may appeal. I know even how much virtual church may appeal. You know, cup of coffee, go down, me, God. I can switch the preacher off if I don't like him. I can switch the music off if I don't like it. It's great. And I don't have to relate to anyone. This is brilliant, the way church always should be. But that isn't actually being a living sacrifice. It's interesting he uses the language of sacrifice. You know, sometimes there's a cost in worship. And you know, if there isn't a lot of cost in the worship that we're giving, you might question the value of the worship that is being offered. And there's a cost. I appreciate that. You know, and I know it's, you know, it's hard. You've got to find a parking space. You've got to get the kids up in the morning. You know, you've got to come in. Maybe you've got to relate to people. Maybe you have, you know, you sign up to help out and you help with the stewarding or the sound or making the coffee or, you know, there's a cost in that. I know there are weeks where it's like, I really could do without this week. You know, there is a cost. But that is the nature of worship. And so there's this worship as an individual before the Creator. There is this worship that calls us into a corporate experience. And again, I want to emphasize that, the importance of that corporate experience. But if COVID has taught us anything, you know, that's the old stuff, there is also something where we have to recapture what worship is about. You see, worship isn't just about a Sunday morning service. It's interesting, the language that we use. And I was having a conversation with someone this week about that. And you know, we talk about our worship team, or we're now going to have worship. And what we mean is we're going to sing songs. And it's like, or we're going to worship. And that means, you know, an hour on a Sunday morning. And we kind of truncate it to that. Now, it doesn't exclude that, but it cannot just be that. And if there's anything that we have to take from COVID, the new thing that we have to discover is what some people have called whole life discipleship, WLD. You'll hear a lot more about it. We're going to focus on it as we go into the new year. But the whole idea that our lives, the entirety of our lives, must be worship. And therefore, the work that we do, the way that we cultivate family life, the way that we build our relationship should be an expression of our worship of God. So it should be emanating out from that center of the creature before the Creator, from that element of being part of a corporate worshiping community, and that then translating into our wider life as worshipers of God. You know, maybe one of the things that some of us were guilty of before COVID was just getting a little bit too compartmentalized. And again, maybe it was in that language. Oh, we're going to worship, which meant we're turning up for an hour on a Sunday. Or you know, we're now about to worship, which meant we're going to sing two songs. So it wasn't even the whole experience. It was the two songs. That was the worship. And actually, what we had lost sight of, and we had compartmentalized it, and it was like, here's our Christian faith and our life, or our Christian faith over here, and then our life over here. And we kind of ticked the box as if, oh, we've done worship, tick. And then we would go on with our life. You know, one of the interesting discussions was, we've been talking about, you know, what time services should be and how should that be. And what features in that is in terms of our lifestyles. When is it more convenient for us to come to church or not? And again, I'm not saying that's not a legitimate discussion to be having. But you know what real worship looks like is that concentric circles where creature before creator, who then as they stand before that, understand that is a calling to be part of a corporate worshiping community, and understanding that being part of a corporate worshiping community translates into the whole of life. And yes, worship involves sacrifice. And again, one of the things maybe pre-COVID we had just got a little bit too far down the road with was we were in a consumerist world. And you know, I cannot believe the inconvenience that we have accepted in our lives and the things that we've given up. And we've done that in order not to get sick, which is probably a wise thing to do. But you know, when it comes to the worship of God, yeah, that's a bit of an imposition. Really? What are you asking of me here? See, worship is all-encompassing. Worship is a call to recognize that you're a creature before the Creator. And here's the thing. You know, to worship, glorify God, and enjoy Him forever. You know, there is a joy in worship. And maybe we need to rediscover the joy of worship. The joy of worship as an individual. The joy of worship as a corporate body. The joy of worship permeating every aspect of our life. You know, as a church community, we've been thinking about Sundays and encouraging people in relation to that. And so what we felt was at the end of this series, as we just share, and we'll talk next week about integration, that it would be good to have a point to just call everybody and say, you know, and we recognize, you know, it's easy to get out of the habit of coming to church. We also recognize that there are people who have genuine health concerns and want to continue watching online. And again, we want to affirm you in that and things. But for those that are kind of like, well, when are we going to go back to church? Or maybe next week or maybe next week. We thought we'll give you a little bit of a focus. And what we want to do is set the 12th of December aside. And our plan is that on the 12th of December, we're... It's spelt wrong. Sorry?
September.
Oh, did I say December? Sorry. It's a good thing it's up there. Yeah. It's a poor excuse, but I've been with leaders all weekend, so my brain is tired. Sorry. 12th of September. I'm glad they're here. And we're going to set that Sunday aside as a day to kind of encourage people to think about, if you haven't come back to see what it's like, you know, come along and see what it's like. Come back and be part of the corporate experience. We're hoping to reset a number of the areas of ministries. The service formats will probably be changing on that day. We're hoping to get our children and youth work all kind of in place. So we're trying to put everything in place in terms of that day. And just encourage you. And then what we're going to do on that Sunday is that Sunday is not going to be a big sermon, but we're just going to take time to reflect on all that's happened over the last 18 months, you know, in terms of dealing with COVID and ourselves, and then to recommit ourselves to a fresh vision, a vision of being a worshiping community, an inclusive community, and a transforming community as we go into what God has. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you call us to worship. And Lord, I pray that you would help us discover the power of that worship. Lord, I ask that you would help us to capture the wonder of being a creature before the Creator. Help our vision of who you are just be so increased. Lord, I pray for the worship of this church in a corporate dimension, Lord. Lord, we understand that there have been so many barriers and some of them still remain. And we have so many concerns. But Lord, help us again and discover the joy of a corporate expression of church. And Lord, we pray, though, that we would not just be limited in our vision of what worship is, but that we would see worship in every dimension of our lives. And Lord, we pray that you would help us become a worshiping community, with worship occurring on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday, in every element and aspect of our living. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.